That does fall to the Chief Government Whip, Mr Ruddock. Philip Ruddock, thanks for joining us. Take us, first of all, to the basic principles of the party room. I know you've stated them previously, but there are no rules, only conventions. How do you approach the management of business tomorrow morning?
Well, it is the case that we've never had a written set of rules, and generally speaking, the way in which we deal with these matters is as you would do so when you were running an ordinary meeting, and you have practices that you well and truly understand. And in our case, when people are elected to Parliament and they come into the party room, they find the Prime Minister's in the chair or the leader is in the chair, and they quickly learn that there are opportunities. If they want to propose a motion, they can. If they wish to question people, they can. But when it comes to issues that are less frequently seen, then obviously people look back and ask, how were these matters dealt with before?
And that's the case on this occasion. So how have you formed a view? Obviously, you're experienced in your own right, but how have you formed a view about the practice as it should be applied tomorrow?
Well, the simple fact is that if somebody has proposed a motion, a spill motion, it has to be dealt with. And I see it as a procedural matter. And the way in which it is dealt with is that it will be proposed. We know it's seconded. I don't think there should be debate about those matters. You're dealing with a very informed audience who know all the issues. They've talked about it for days now, and they have formed a view and have a very clear view of their own. Debate's not going to alter that. And so the general practice has been in the past that these matters are not dealt with debate. They're dealt with as matters of process, procedure.
And that's your resolve, is it, that tomorrow there be no debate?
It is certainly the view I have as to the way it should be dealt with, yes.
And if there's a contrary view, if that's challenged, is there capacity to allow it, or pressure then upon the chairman of the meeting, the leader, to allow it?
Look, I mean, that may be the case that somebody would ask, and I dare say the leader would deal with that. But in my view, you're dealing with a very informed audience, people who have considered these matters over a period of time. Debate in that context, particularly the way in which some people report on what happens in party room meetings, I think can be less helpful. And on that basis, it is certainly my strong view that we should not proceed to deal with it other than as a matter of process, and it would be to proceed straight to a vote.
Are you factoring in technology there, the suggestion that SMS messaging and other communications can now emerge from a meeting, and that's a reason to move quickly towards its resolution in the ballot?
You'd know better than me whether you see texting from the meeting, but there is certainly a view that there is and has been over a period of time communications from the meetings, that may serve the purpose of the media, but I'm not sure that it serves the broader interest of the collective team.
Okay, so once you do proceed into the ballot, what follows next? You would need to establish, wouldn't you, before the preparation and distribution of the papers, how many members are there. Do you expect the full 102 to be present in the morning?
I would. People don't absent themselves from these matters, but I have still to communicate with one member to establish whether personal circumstances will permit him to be there.
Because one has been overseas, I believe, as well?
If people are overseas, my office should be aware of it. I know that a number of people have been overseas, but I don't understand at this stage that there are people away with leave, but it is the case that that if members of Parliament are to be absent, my office should be advised.
Right, so a full house as far as you're aware, save for some personal circumstances around one member.
Yes.
Okay, so then ballot papers are distributed. What follows from there?
Well, the ballot papers are there, along with a list of all the members. We may have a roll call just to establish who is there, and we will distribute the ballot papers. They're all numbered, and people will write yes or no. Very simple.
And you then take the box away from the room for counting with fellow whips, is that correct?
The whips do the count.
And you'll return to announce the result?
No, we return and advise the leader of the result.
And what follows from there? Obviously, if there were more votes for than against, something has to proceed?
Well, look, the Prime Minister and I have discussed that. If the motion were to be successful, we would proceed to have a ballot for the position of leader and deputy leader. That would proceed immediately. I would occupy the chair.
Nominations, how would they be called for?
Nominations are called for by those interested in seeking the office standing.
And they speak to their nomination in what fashion? Do they make a pitch, if you like?
It's been both ways. I haven't turned my mind to what I would do if I was in the chair, but I suspect, given that we've got some the Parliament sitting and some other engagements, and you've got to look as to how you're going to manage those matters, I'd try to deal with it as quickly as possible.
And just, you mentioned Parliament there. I think it's due to start at 10. Does that mean your current intention is to have this resolved within the hour?
Yes.
And if it could not be, is it a big problem for the government to delay the resumption of Parliament?
No, I suspect, and I've got my staff checking on the process with the clerks, but I suspect that the process would involve the ringing of the bells, the Parliament would convene, the Leader of the House would have to elect to either adjourn the House until the party meeting had concluded. In other words, you would adjourn the House until the ringing of the bells and the meeting would reconvene.
All right. Well, there's been much made about the concept of ministerial solidarity within the meeting and the way in which that might affect the casting of votes for or against in the spill motion.
I've heard those comments.
Yes, it's hard to escape. Yeah, what's your understanding?
Look, I mean, I am not a commentator in relation to these matters. I would ordinarily expect that people who have been appointed by the Prime Minister would give the Prime Minister their loyalty and their commitment. That's certainly the approach I take. But in relation to what happens in a secret ballot, people may have an understanding, but how they implement it is really a matter for them.
So you're describing that as an understanding? It's not... Is it a convention? Is it a rule? Can it be... Obviously, it can't be traced, but how can it be followed through on?
I just simply make the point that... These issues, when you've elected to have a secret ballot, become much more opaque, don't they? Yes, there is an understanding that those who have their office at the request of the office holder, the principal office holder, would give them loyalty. I don't put any higher than an understanding that that's what you would expect, but I simply make the point that this is going to be a secret ballot.
And so because of that, observers perhaps should not put too much store on that number. I think it's about 36 who hold office of some sort. It should not necessarily be approached as an untouchable block.
Look, I mean, I think people are speculating about these things and they have no idea. I simply make this observation. I think the Prime Minister is confident that he has the support. He's brought the matter forward. He seeks to have it dealt with as quickly as possible. In relation to the matters more generally as to how people see it and what they want to say and how they want to comment about the events, I've made it very clear through this process I am not a commentator and I'm not going to be drawn on those matters.